Christos Anesti. Christ is in our... Christ is risen. Amasicham. Christos Anviat. Christos Voskrese. Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Christ is in our midst. He was, and is, and ever shall be. On this Sunday, the third Sunday of Pascha, we continue to celebrate, we continue to behold, we continue to be amazed, we continue to worship our Lord and venerate his resurrection, which is the raising of his dead body to life, and rejoicing over what that means for our own lives, for us. We who are believers in the risen Christ put all of our hope in Christ's resurrection. And we put all of our hope in the good news that the tomb was opened and that it was emptied of our Lord's body because it has risen. And so today, the worldwide Orthodox Church focuses today on the myrrh-bearing women, on Joseph of Arimathea, and of Nicodemus, and most especially we focus on the risen body of Christ. Because by commemorating on those who cared for his body, and those who were the first to hear the news that his body had risen from the dead, and we commemorate those who cared for the body, the church is celebrating this resurrection. The resurrection is literally that Jesus Christ, who was fully God and fully man, who had a real body just like you and me, had died and his body was risen. So today we are going to talk a lot about Christ's body and our body. And the Christ body is sacred. It is worthy of veneration. It is holy. And it leads us to the heavenly things. And also we commemorate our own bodies as being the same, as being sacred. So the Lord, who is spirit, took on a human body solely to rescue us and our bodies, and our souls. Because a human being, we've said this before, is not just a soul. And a human being is not just a body without a soul. There's one famous theologian who said that a man without a soul is a corpse. And a soul without a body is a ghost. We worship Jesus Christ as neither a ghost nor a corpse. We worship him as God incarnate who resurrected from the dead. So the women, the myrrh-bearing women, went to his tomb in order to treat, in order to anoint his body with precious myrrh. Now myrrh was always connected with the body, particularly with the entombing of a body, that people would go and anoint the body with myrrh was an act of devotion, an act of love, an act of defiance against death and against decay, and it was a preparation for the body to be entombed, and also most especially to show that the body is sacred. So the myrrh-bearing women came to the tomb, went to the tomb with the intention of anointing his body with myrrh. So the body is so important to God's plan. And your body and my body and your soul and my soul and the soul of every single human being and the body of every single human being that ever lived are part of God's plan. We are body and soul. We exist in body and soul. We are created body and soul to glorify God and to commune with our God with both body and soul. We are united with God, not just with our souls and with our body, and not just with God himself, but we are united to all of creation
with our body and soul. We commune with God and we commune with creation and we commune with ourselves, with body and our soul. So the body is critical to human life. It's critical to the heavenly life. It's critical to real communion with God. When we are resurrected from the dead and we are brought to the heavenly kingdom, we are going to be brought with that body that you and I have. So we need to take care of it. We need to respect it. Not just our own, but everybody's bodies, as much as we are called to respect everybody's souls. Now the problem is that most humans are ignorant of the body's sacredness. We can see that in the news today with violence and war and disrespect and all kind of things. We either do two things with our body. We either trash it and destroy it, or on the other end, we worship it and think that it's the most, all of our life depends only on our body. In a way, our heavenly life depends on our body, but we need to find the orthodox way of looking at the body. Not to destroy it, but not to worship it. In many ways, the human body is to be treated like an icon because it is an icon of Christ. Jesus Christ took on a body, and so we have a body. And what do we say about the icons? They are permitted. They are to be used. They are to be venerated, honored, but never worshipped. Right? So this is who we are. Now, death is the separation of the body and the soul, and the separation of the person from God. Death is the opposite of this communion. Death, as it says in the church, is a degradation. It's a crumbling, right? So God took on flesh and dwelt among us in order specifically to raise us and to raise our bodies, to save our bodies and our souls, and to put those who want it back on the path with their bodies and souls to eternal heavenly life, resurrected, drawn up from the dead, and led to eternal life. Look at the icon of the resurrection. Jesus is not raising ghosts. He is raising Adam and Eve, who are representative of all of us, and he's raising them up. There's even gravity involved when he raises Adam and Eve from the tombs. He's pulling, he's raising them up. And so we are all, the good news is that we will be raised and drawn up from the tombs, resurrected and given eternal life. And Jesus Christ himself, who said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe, though they may die, will rise again to live in the kingdom of heaven." So what did the myrrh bearers, what did their acts? And Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, what did their acts and their experience witness to us about Christ's body and the destiny of our own bodies? Well, first of all, they witnessed their love and devotion for the body of Christ. They anointed it to preserve it. They went to prepare the body, not for death, but for eternal life. They did what they were taught, to preserve the body from decay, because decay is intolerable and unacceptable. Death is unacceptable to God. Death is unacceptable to God's people. Just a side note. Maybe we've heard many, many accounts in the church history about how there were holy relics, the bodies of saints, that gave off fragrance, beautiful fragrance. And I've experienced this myself. When I was in Thessaloniki, at the great church of St. Demetrius, you go to they have his head in the middle of the church, and it gives off myrrh to the entire church, even thousands of years, hundreds of years after he lived. And there was so much myrrh at one time coming from his relics that they actually had to build little ducts and things in order to collect the amount of myrrh. They had big vats to connect the amount of myrrh coming from that relic. And the relic was fragrant and a beautiful smell of myrrh. We call St. Dimitrios the myrrh bearer, the myrrh streamer, excuse me, the myrrh streamer, right? And most especially, we want to talk about the smell and the fragrance, because many fathers have taught about this fragrance and what it means. When a saint gives off a fragrance, or sometimes even icons. There's an icon in Hawaii that was brought to the cathedral in Oakland when I was there, and it was giving off myrrh. So much it was going, I was holding the little icon, not much bigger than this, a piece of paper, and the myrrh was coming down onto my arms, right? We've heard of things, and we hear many of times in the church of talking about a foretaste, right? The communion, Holy Communion, is a foretaste of the heavenly banquet, a foretaste of heaven. Well, I might be making up a word, but when we have a fragrance that comes off of the relics of the saints and the icons, when that special, marvelous time when it happens, it's a foresmelling of the heavenly kingdom. When you wonder, what does it smell like in heaven? Well, we get a good idea of the beauty and the radiance, not just that this comes not just from light and not just from touch, but even our noses. Our bodies are made to commune with God. Our eyes, our mouth, our hands, everything, even our noses are in communion with God. So the myrrh-bearing women gave a model, and they gave a witness to affirm the resurrection. Unwittingly, when they went to the tomb, they were thinking, we're going to anoint this body. How are we going to roll back the stone? The big stone was designed on purpose to be rolled in there to never be rolled back again. Maybe they were thinking ahead of the 20th century with cranes and shovels and all the things they can lift it. And they were wondering, how are we going to do this? And this is the final point before I go too long. That death and resurrection is something that only God can take care of. And this is what the big stone represents. The women went there, who is going to roll back the stone? Only God can roll back that stone. Only the resurrection can be done by God. And so in our own lives, humans are unable to move that stone of death. That's why we depend and we look to and we have hope in God. This is why we look to the resurrection with hope. And we look to the resurrection with venerating it. There's even it says in the hymns that we worship our Christ's resurrection because that is our hope. That is our only lifting us up from death and sin and nothingness to restore us back to the life that God so wants to give us and will give us if we want to participate in his resurrection and follow his commandments and participate in the beautiful life of the Orthodox Church that he has given us.